And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could spend part of your workday with us. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. We will look ahead to the regular season opener over the next 60 minutes. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You could also chime in via Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to some news and notes off the top. We'll set the injury report, and then we will open the dialogue to you, the listeners, to you, the fans, to chime in your thoughts on what you think is going to take place between the Giants and the Cowboys as the 2016 season is well underway, Jeff.
Woo!
The opener between the Panthers and the Broncos last night as Denver squeaked by Carolina 21-20. So now, obviously, the focus is going to be on the Giants and the rest of the field. But let's start with some Giants news here off the top. The positive is the injury report is dwindling by the day.
Good.
In terms of who was going to be available and who's not going to be available. There were some question marks about B.J. Goodson. He has now returned to practice after going through the concussion protocol. And then you have two other players that have been limited, Jonathan Casillas as well as Darian Thompson. Casillas is dealing with the rib injury. Darian Thompson is dealing with the shoulder injury. So, you know, unsure about whether or not they're going to play, but you can't be in a better position right now with the injury bug if you're the Giants.
Well, you know, a lot of times you go on these trips and there's guys that stay back. Doesn't look like anybody's going to be staying back this week. So, you know, and then you'll have the inactives. Will B.J. Goodson be on the active? You know, you really hope that Casillas can play because he's the starter at that position. So, but you're right. I think that, you know, when you look back at the history of what's been happening around here with the Giants and injuries and things like this, you couldn't ask for anything better. A couple guys on the list, but really they're going to make the trip. So pretty much all 53 guys are going to get on that plane and go down to Big D. And what a great opportunity to start the season. And you know, we're going to talk all about the Cowboys and the opportunities you have here, but I don't think you could have had a better opportunity with going up against a rookie quarterback. You know, what they're going to ask him to do is going to be very limited. But he still has to play the game, and he still has to manage the game, and he's young, and he has not gone against a defense yet that has schemed against him, which in my opinion is going to be one of the harder things to do for the Giants because they don't know anything about him. They don't know anything about Ezekiel Elliott either. But I have a lot of confidence in Spagnuolo. We'll come up with something to try to confuse the young kid. But bottom line is it's an NFC East rival game. It's going to be a close one. I think that when you look at the Dallas Cowboys defense, not many guys there that should be there that are suspended. But they do have a really good secondary. You know, they got Skandrick coming back this year now, and that's a part of their defense that is good. So you match that up with those receivers that the Giants have, and there's a key matchup for the game there. Interior, you got a defensive line you don't really know much about in the Cowboys, but you got the offensive line who we all know has had problems in the preseason. So let's battle it out. And then on the flip side of it, you got the all-world offensive line for the Cowboys, and you've got this new defensive line for the Giants. So a lot of storylines, a lot of stuff going into this game. But bottom line is, it's on the road. By the way, the Giants have never won against the Dallas Cowboys on opening day. I saw that statistic.
Yep.
I was just like, and I tried to go back and said, there's got to be something wrong here. But 8-0 the Cowboys are on opening day against the Giants, which is ridiculous.
It is truly amazing. And this only obviously goes for games that were played in week one, because I'm sure a lot of people listening, yes, they have beaten them before.
It's just opening day.
Correct.
Opening day.
Has to be the first game of the season, and the Cowboys have certainly had the Giants' number. And that also holds true for games that were in Dallas as well as here in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily in one location.
Opening day, whether it's away or home, it's still 8-0. Cowboys lead that category.
So that is another goal for the Giants to finally get over the hurdle and get past that issue that has been a struggle for them since they have obviously defined their rivalry with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, you brought up the fact that, Jeff, there's a lot of new personnel groupings, I think, when you look across the board for both of these teams. And the battle in the trenches, to me, is going to be something to watch for many different reasons. Number one, you know, the Giants' offensive line, mixed results in the preseason. How much do you read into that? You know, that's going to be a big factor. And the Cowboys' defensive line also, not necessarily any positive results in the preseason. They did have 6 sacks, but you divide that by 4 games, that's very little pressure. And they have a lot of players that were on the back end of the depth chart or brought in via free agency,
yeah,
that are now stepping into starting roles, because there's no DeMarcus Lawrence. He was suspended for 4 games. There's no Randy Gregory. He's also out for 4 games. That's your 2 edge rushers. And Rolando McClain, their middle linebacker,
yeah,
he's out for 10. Those are 3 integral pieces of their defense from last season.
Yeah, I think when you want to watch matchups, watch that offensive line against this revamped defensive line for the Cowboys. That and me, to me, is where things are going to be won and lost in here. I think the other flip side around it, I got to tip my hat, even though a lot of you are going to disagree with me, but I believe that the offensive line for the Giants, and if Pugh's going to play, which most likely he is, there's your five starters from last year, okay? They were a top 10 offense with that offensive line. Now they're going to go against a team, a defensive line that we don't know much about. I got to tip my hat or give the advantage to the Giants offensive line here.
The group that's been playing together.
I know it sounds insane, but I think that let's wait and see how this first game of the regular season pans out. And then let's kind of maybe form some opinions after this game to see if the Giants' offensive line still is having the problems that we've seen in the offseason. But you have to understand, too, that Justin Pugh is back in the lineup, didn't play a lot in the preseason. That's going to make a difference. Where will we see Will Beatty? Will he dress for the game? Will he play some of this jumbo tight end that we talk about? We certainly know he's not going to start at one of the positions, but the fact is, how are they going to use him if they do at all? That's an interesting question that's going to be answered at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And where will the tight ends fit in this mix too with Will Beatty? I feel like, you know, can they get some help in that blocking? But you know, overall, I think this is going to be one of these games that's going to be close, and
as they all are,
as they all are. I think that I saw a statistic in there. There was 39 games, the Giants and the Cowboys that have been less than a touchdown in the games. You know,
doesn't surprise me.
So, what's going to be the determining factor here to me, offensively for the Giants, is to run the football. Period. I think that the Dallas defensive backs are pretty good, but I still feel that the Giants, you know, this is going to be the first time that all three of these guys, and I say Shepard, Cruz, and Odell, are going to be on the field at the same time for an extended period of time. And I think that the body of work that these guys have done at practice really needs to show now how you know, good this receiving core can be. But they can't be that good unless you can establish the run. And that's what they're going to have to do.
Well, you establish the run on offense, you continue the drives, you milk the clock, you wear down that Dallas defense, which has a lot of question marks. And then on the flip side, Jeff, you have to stop the run because a rookie quarterback's best friend, I'm giving you the segue, is a young running back that can be a workhorse, and that's what Ezekiel Elliott appears to be as he makes the transition from college to the pros.
They're going back to the well, exactly what they did a couple years ago. And, you know, they went out and got Ezekiel Elliott. They moved up to get him. And, you know, so now he's their guy. First rookie to start a running back in years and years for the Cowboys.
Been quite some time.
But, you know, he's still a young guy. And he's still going to make some mistakes. And, you know, from a turnover standpoint, this is where the Giants can benefit from this. Turn the ball over. Get some good hits on him. He's going to run behind that big offensive line, which is what they're going to want to do. And they are going to try to establish their run. So it's their will against, the Giants offensive line or defensive line against that offensive line is a great matchup to me. I got the two ends. Olivia Vernon being in his first game in a Giants uniform regular season. JPP coming back having to want to prove that he can get a big contract going in next year. What better game, national TV, 4 o'clock against the Dallas Cowboys to come back and really start the season off. And really, I think that this defense, If they start things off right, that this confidence can get going. You know, how bad they were last year, Lance. It was just incredible how that they just could not stop anybody. This is the time where now you got this new defense, you know, and it's actually the second season for a lot of these guys in Spags' defense that, you know, they can come out and make a statement. Because offensively, I still believe that the Giants are going to be good. I think they're going to be fine, even if they have troubles running the football a little bit. But I still think offensively throwing the football, my goodness, you couldn't ask for three better receivers, that's for sure.
Plenty of weapons out there. But once again, it goes back to the trenches. That's going to define both of these
Absolutely.
Teams this season. I don't think anybody necessarily doubts that. I'd also throw in Jason Witten into the equation, Jeff.
Do you have to?
I have to. Well, he's given the Giants absolute headaches, not just last year, not just the year before. Going back to since he entered the league, it was an interesting number I came across. No player who has gone up against the Giants has more receptions and receiving yards going back to 1960 than Jason Witten. So if that doesn't spell it out, I don't know what
he's
does.
He's been in a Cowboys uniform since 2003. And has just been, you know, one of those guys. You know, you look at the tight end position now, the way it's used in the NFL. I mean, Jason Witten has been doing this all his career, and especially against the Giants. He's had some of the biggest games as a Cowboy against the Giants, particularly back in 2013. I think he caught 15 balls that day. It was just ridiculous.
Huge game, and he had two touchdowns in the opener last year, including the game winner.
So he's a guy you got to keep your eye on. And, you know, I think the linebacking crew is much improved this year with a little bit more speed to be able to cover him. And certainly the safety play can help there, too.
Have to hone in on Jason Witten. Linebacker is certainly going to be a big key there in terms of being physical with him at the line of scrimmage.
And don't forget about Escobar either. I mean,
Gavin Escobar, the backup, yeah.
He had a couple good games against the Giants last year, too, so catching some touchdowns. So don't forget about him either.
They run those double tight end formations. Copycat league, as we see plenty of times. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Metter. We're going to open up the phone lines. We'll get to some other storylines to monitor throughout the course of this game. We'll get to your tweets as well. Hashtag Giants Chat. Let's start the festivities up. Alan is in D.C. He gets us going on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Alan, what's happening?
What's up, Alan?
What's going on, guys? How's it going, Jeff, Lance?
Very good.
Doing well, Alan.
Happy Friday to you, my man.
Yeah, happy Friday, and it's football Friday. We got a little taste of college football already, and now you know what time it is. It's a big blue time, and you know, just like every other fan, I'm super excited for the season. I don't want to add any fuel to the fire of the offensive line inquiries, but I think we'll be all right there, man. I think, you know, it's the same group that we had pretty much all last season. So, I mean, what else can they do but improve, you know? I'm thinking, I live in the D.C. area, and so there's a ton of Cowboy and Redskin fans over here. So I get it from all angles. And I've never seen a group of Cowboy fans so happy that their star quarterback is out. I mean, I just can't.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they just seem so optimistic about.
After going 1-11 without him last year. Yeah, that's to be happy that Romo's out. That's
the numbers
cool.
are not necessarily in there.
Just goes to show you the intelligence of them.
I mean, given, like, if something happened to Eli, and, you know, granted, Nassib is a good second backup, but, I mean, I couldn't imagine being excited about the season if Eli got hurt. I mean, these guys are just ridiculous, and, they have, some rookies there, some untapped talent yet. We haven't seen it on film necessarily on the pro level, but, I mean, you know, they're rookies. They're going to make mistakes. That's what they do, you know. I hope my man Cruz, he does something, man, because, I mean, I've been like a fool the last few years just drafting him on my fantasy and just having him on the bench, hopeful, waiting for this day. And I picked him up again this year just because I'm a big Cruz guy. I hope he has a breakout year. I hope he's somewhat, you know, what we used to see from him, you know. And Jeff, I'd like to get your input on the changes made to the kicks. I mean, I'm not an expert, but can you break that down for, like, the fan base? I never really understood how it impacts the game. And go Big Blue. I'll take your answers
right
off there.
Appreciate the phone call.
Have a good
call.
Weekend.
The changes on the kicks, I mean the touchbacks? Or
I'm assuming that's what he was alluding to because that's really the main area of change this season.
Yeah, well, obviously forever the touchback was at the 20-yard line. Now it's coming out to the 25, and there was some talk earlier in the offseason about this that, you know, They want to eliminate these kickoffs, guys. They really, without eliminating the kickoff, they want to eliminate. I mean, saying that, okay, just kick in the end zone, we'll give it to you the 25, okay? But special teams coaches are a little bit smarter than that. So they figure, all right, we don't want to give you the ball at the 25-yard line. It's actually penalizing the kickoff team because before we kicked a touchback, you gave it to us at the 20. Now we do the same thing, you get to the 25. So they're going to try, you're going to see a lot more of these, what they call mortar kicks or these pooch kicks down to like maybe the 10-yard line. And, you know, maybe they get to tackle them on the 18 and then they save, 7 yards. But
entice them to return it.
To entice them to return it. Or even kick a higher kickoff. Guy catches it on the goal line and you're guessing that your guys can go down there and tackle them inside the 20. So, you know, but there's a lot of philosophies when it goes into that. But the main thing was from the league wanting to eliminate the kickoffs and the kind of the collisions, if you will, running down the field and just saying, hey, you know what, concede. We'll, You know, I think eventually, in my opinion, one day it's just going to come to that. There will not be a kickoff. Maybe to start the game, one kickoff after the half then, and one kickoff at the beginning. But I think
they'll
that
tease you off the top.
Other than that, after a field goal or after a touchdown, I think that, you know, they'll probably just end up putting the ball at the 25 or the 30-yard line, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it goes back to the whole safety debate.
No question.
Part of it. But, you know, special teams coaches and special teams players, as you can relate to, Jeff, I mean, you feel you can make a game-changing play. You want them to return it because that's the way you get more takeaways, more opportunities, change
sure.
field position.
And you know what? If you have a good kickoff team and you're going up against the opponent, again, we always talk about matchups, and they're not a very good kickoff return team, there's an advantage in the game. You take that advantage away from one team or the other, you know, it doesn't make sense. You have to try to gain that other advantage that you just had been taken away somewhere else. So, you know, special teams coaches aren't going to like it. The kickers aren't going to like it because now they're going to say to you, well, you know, your job is diminishing. There's no longer a kickoff, so evidently we're not going to pay you as much. I can just see that coming.
Yeah, not the same value. No, I think that's a very good point. It's just like they were arguing with the extra points being moved back. Maybe a kicker's value increases.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a chip shot anymore, but now all of a sudden you take away the kickoff, so you're not doing as many.
And, you know, you mentioned that, and I was, you know, I don't follow the league as much as I probably should, and I was on cut day when the 53-man roster came out. I saw that the Bears had cut Robbie Gould. And I was sitting to myself going, wait a second, what is going on here? And then after I investigated a little further, you know, Robbie Gould had missed two extra points and a field goal. In one of the preseason games, missed a field goal the week before, and then missed two extra points during the next week, and then that had something to do. His contract was, you know, this, and a lot of it has to do with money too. But another guy in there that was maybe, you know, not as good as Robbie Gould, but not making as much money, and also had a lot to do with the guy that they brought from Green Bay, the lineman, the Green Bay cut.
You're talking about
Sitton,
Josh Sitton,
They were able to save some money under Robbie Gould's deal to be able to leverage and get this other guy.
The 3-year contract.
But my point is that, yeah, you know, the extra point has now become a little bit more difficult than before. But there, back in the day, there was guys that were kept on the roster, even though they may not have been the best accuracy guy, but they could, their kickoffs were amazing.
Stronger leg you're talking about.
Yeah, so they would keep those. They eliminate the kickoff. Those guys are, you know, they don't care about the strong leg anymore.
Of course. Yeah, it changes the dynamics how you put a
roster
together.
No question.
Certainly has a big influence. All right, let's
head back. We'll get off the kicking stuff.
Yeah, you're putting everybody to sleep, Jeff.
Well, the guy asked.
I mean, I know
you're
looking out for the punters and the kickers.
I'm looking out for the callers that wanted to know the answers to the questions.
Jeez. Jerome is in Charlotte. Jerome, what's happening?
Hello, Ed.
Yes, Jerome.
I'm so excited for Sunday. I don't know what to do.
Well, calm down. It'll get here soon enough, Jerome.
Yes, we're gonna try to ease your tension here, Jerome.
It's fine.
We're here for you.
It's only Friday.
Relax. Take it easy.
But I was watching a Denver game last night, and I was seeing the comparability. With the defense, and I see a lot of it with us, a lot of changes. But I, you know, Dallas defense. I mean, quarterback is not as fast as Cam, and I believe there's going to be about at least 4 turnovers between them and the running back. I think this is going to be our biggest win over Dallas in a good while.
Wow. All right. Interesting prediction on your part, saying that could be a lot of turnovers. It wouldn't surprise me. Week one, Jeff, things tend to be sloppy for all teams.
Oh, tackling is going to be.
Exactly.
Tackling is, it's just the way it is because of the way things are in preseason and in practices. And so get used to the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The tackling will be a little bit better as it goes on, but the first 2 weeks is just horrendous. Last night it was horrendous too. You know, nobody wraps up anymore. They just hit. They don't wrap up.
Yeah, there was a play where Ben Wickery, the starting quarterback,
I would have demolished that name.
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here for you. He went to tackle the Broncos fullback. Well, I shouldn't say he even went to tackle him.
He went
inside. The fullback just ran right by him. He was in preseason form, the Panthers corner. The Broncos fullback was in midseason form.
That's it.
And it was a wide-open 28-yard touchdown. So those things are certainly likely to play out across the NFL landscape, not necessarily with the Giants or the Cowboys. What else you got for us, Jerome?
Well, my biggest concern on defense, I believe we'll – we'll score, especially if, you know, even if we put Eli in shotgun where he gets a few more seconds. But my biggest concern is defense with the middle of the field. I know one of the other callers had talked about, you know, linebackers is a big, you know, concern. Can they control the middle of the field? But I still think with what we got, what I've seen during our preseason games, I saw all four of them meet, you know, on the NFL channel, and I believe the Giants will have enough time to control the middle of the field with an unexperienced quarterback at the helm. Right. I like that your opinion on that.
All right, Jerome. Well, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. Kelvin Shepard and Steve Spagnuolo addressed this yesterday, Jeff, when he spoke to the media, said Shepard's going to have the helmet. He's going to have the piece in his helmet to at
Shepard
least
okay.
be able to control the defense, organize everybody accordingly, which is not necessarily a surprise. They don't know who's going to have the other listening device because they're not sure who the backup mic is with respect to the depth chart. But if Shepard is the guy that they're going to rely upon to set the tone, the good news is he's a veteran. He's been there before. But, you know, it goes back to it's not just them stopping the run in the middle of the field, Jeff. I still think, you know, Jason Witten is going to be that security blanket for Dak Prescott. And I have a feeling that between him and their slot wide receiver, Cole Beasley, they're going to maybe run a lot of underneath routes. So if Prescott doesn't want to press the envelope and they don't want to go deep, they're going to look to dump it off. And that's why these linebackers have to be disciplined. It's not just the middle of the field. It's even the guys on the strong and the weak side. They have to be disciplined because a guy coming from your side may come diagonally to the right, and all of a sudden it turns into a 15-yard gain.
And even a little dump-off pass to the running back, too. But I think that it all goes hand-in-hand. You know, starting from the front to the back, is you get pressure on the quarterback, it's going to help the linebackers. Last year there was no pressure on the quarterback. The linebackers and DBs were put out on an island, having to cover these guys for 4, 5, 6 seconds, which is ridiculous. So it all goes hand-in-hand. You get a little pressure on the quarterback, you get a little bit more, you know, better coverage out of the linebackers, which if they lead in from out of the middle of the field and into the secondary, okay, you know, then you just got a little bit more, less time to throw the football. That's going to make things happen. I think that the linebacking crew is much improved from last year. You got a lot of veterans that are in there. Castillas is going to, if he gets back, he was hurt a lot last year. You saw how he's played in the preseason. He's played outstanding. So just got to get him healthy with those ribs coming back. Shepard, as you said, is a veteran. I think he's going to be fine in there. We'll see how he reacts to, you know, getting everybody in front of every, you know, get everybody in position and then being able to have his own responsibilities on the field, because that is a transition. When you're making calls with that little green dot in your helmet, for people that, I've said this before, if you ever see that green dot on the back of somebody's helmet in a game, you don't know what it is, that's the guy with the micro, that's the guy with the headset in his helmet. You'll see it on a quarterback and the middle linebacker. But that's kind of going to be a progression for somebody calling out the plays and getting everybody in line and then playing, doing his own responsibility.
And also keep in mind, it's likely that Shepard may not be down in the middle for third down situations.
Yeah.
Keenan Robinson could likely be in that circumstance. So, you know, the communication as they maybe transition, Jeff, from Shepard to Robinson, it's got to be on point, especially if the Cowboys are in short, manageable third down scenarios. You want to keep them off the field. Last year, remember, the Giants struggled immensely on third down.
Well, you make the point, and when you think about this, okay, so who's going to get that other green dot? It's got to be your third down linebacker.
You would assume, yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, if you have your other two down linebacker and he's coming out of the game and you're inserting another guy in there, it's most likely going to be your nickel back. And I would imagine that's the case, because you know, there's going to be a lot of switching going back and forth with those linebackers this year, I feel, because you need the health of these guys. You got to get some, you know, get these guys fresh in and out, just like a lot of, like what the defensive linemen do. You know, they're always platooning back and forth because those guys get, and it'll be hot in Dallas too. It's always hot there in September.
It is, yes. I don't think you're going to get too much of a breeze, especially at this time of the year. Let's head back to the phone lines. He's Jeff Eagles. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for joining us for Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are looking ahead to Sunday's matchup between the Giants and the Cowboys. Ravon is in Virginia. Ravon, what's happening?
Nothing much. Good afternoon, Lance and Jeff. How y'all doing today, gentlemen?
Doing
wonderful,
well.
Sir.
How's things with you?
Good. That's good to hear, man. It's the official countdown to this weekend and this butt whooping that's about to go on.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of trivia before I get into what I'm going to get my point off on the radio and everything. Jeff, you had a caller that called in a little while ago that went on a rant. You were on the show with Paul DeTino, and I went on a rant about the Cowboys, and I'm just going to read a quote to you. I want you to finish it if you can. The Cowboys had a quarterback that couldn't get sacked on the left or the right side because of what?
Say that again.
The Cowboys had a quarterback starting that couldn't get sacked on the left or right side because of what? Both of his what is missing? His shoulder.
His shoulder.
Okay. You laughed at it when I said it the first time. I thought you was going to remember it. Anyways, I'm going to get into my point.
Okay.
Giants.
We got to work on the execution there, Ray.
Yeah.
You know, listen, it's the start of the season. We haven't had a game. You're still working out the game.
Lance and I are probably the two smartest guys that are on this show. We couldn't figure that out right away. That's the trouble.
I wasn't even here for the initial show.
You've been doing pretty good with it, so I just tried that. I didn't want to take too much time with that.
Understandable.
But just a rundown of everything, man. Everybody's so worried. Everybody's got all these worries going on. Man, look, our defense has been revamped. We're gonna start with the defense. Look at the defense. We have corners. We have safeties. We have linebackers that can finally cover tight ends over the middle like Jason Witten. We have a front line that can get pressure on the quarterback.
Correct.
We have our offense. Our offense, we had the same offense. We didn't lose any major players from last year, anybody. We have a new offensive line coach, which I don't know how much that has to do with everything as far as them going forward and trying to get their mechanics right and everything, but that's something that can be fixed, guys. We have the same offense that was very high in the league last year. Our special teams, I don't have to speak about. We have one of the best returners in the game. You guys need to sit back and kind of relax a little bit with the offensive line talk. I think that McAdoo will figure it out and find a way to get – I think he needs to use Shane Vereen a little bit more this year, well, a lot more this year. I think he'll be one of the major players that will keep us in third and short. Let me ask you a question, Jeff, and I'm going to ask one to you too, Lance, after this. I seen last night in the Broncos game, one of the downs, they used a lineman as a tight end. And the thing about it is that when they used the lineman as a tight end, one of the commentators, I think it was Chris Collinsworth, made a comment that said, well, they knew he wasn't going out for a pass. How effective do you think Will Beatty will be in that spot if we actually use him that way? Jeff?
Well, I know he's not going to be going out for a pass.
I know that's – first.
But I think he'd be very effective. I think he – you know, in my opinion, he's an offensive lineman. He knows how to block, okay? He's not a tight end, so he doesn't know how to – even though he is very athletic, doesn't know how to catch. He's a better blocker than the tight ends that are on this roster. So I feel like that's why he's going to be here in the interim. And I think that as the season goes along, starting week one and on, I think there'll be a competition there in trying to see if he can work his way into one of those starting lineman spots. But in the meantime, I think they have him here to help the block in the tight ends block, because we saw, if you watched that game, which game was it we were watching?
The Buffalo Bills game.
Holy smokes. I mean, I honestly, I don't even know that they thought there was anybody in front of them. It was unbelievable. So I feel like that's what Will Beatty is going to help out here. Hope that answers your question.
I hope so.
All right,
and the question for you, Lance, I'm sorry.
That's the question for you, Lance,
is, you know, seeing how deep we are this year. I mean, we haven't seen it yet because we haven't had, you know, I'm kind of mad at my Giants fans for acting like Redskins fans, some of them. We don't panic before the season starts and we actually get a taste of what's going on here. We were in a division where the division winner, the champ of the division, was 7-9, guys, and we were 6-10. If I can count correctly.
The division winner was 9-7. 9-7, not 7-9.
Oh, they were 9-7. I'm sorry. I got on the radio and made a complete idiot
that's
of myself.
That's all right.
No worries.
The Redskins caught fire late, remember. They won a number of games.
Their last four games against teams that didn't even go to the playoffs and do anything. They were bad teams, basically. But, Lance, the question for you, seeing how our defense is revamped and we've got corners, we've got good matchups to be able to be less confusing now instead of like the Perry Fuel defenses. Perry Fuel relied a lot on zone defenses. You'd see wide receivers catch the ball and cornerbacks and safeties not even around them because they're trying to figure out their assignments and who's supposed to be, you know, where, when. Seeing how we got good matchups now to where we got good personnel on defense, would it make more sense to you, especially this first game with it being a rookie, not saying that they don't want to give him different looks. You definitely want to give him different looks and confuse him. But I think being in man and maybe using some blitzes, you know, and periodically throughout, you know, the game when you're blitzing, use a couple of players in zone to kind of confuse them and everything. Do you think it would go to our advantage more this year, Lance, seeing how, you know, the personnel is back there with having two great corners back there?
Well, I think that Spags has a few more toys that he can experiment with. There's no doubt about that. And, Ravon, appreciate the phone call. I'll continue to answer your question off the air. So I think that he's going to try to be creative. How much that we see of that perhaps in the early stages of the season, I think is really going to depend on game flow. I mean, you would think he's going to try to be creative against a young quarterback, but I thought Spags brought up an interesting point, Jeff, because he pointed out the fact that, you know, a lot of it's going to depend on whether or not we can stop the run. If the Cowboys establish in the trenches early that they're going to be the tougher team and they're running the ball and Prescott's facing third and fours and third and threes, there's only so many chances that Spags could take, Jeff, if those are the downs. If Prescott's facing a third and 12, you know, then Spags could say to himself, all right, maybe I am going to bring a safety up to the line. Maybe I am going to bring a corner, disguise him, and then send him on a blitz. For example, I was watching the Panthers-Broncos game yesterday. Trey Boston, one of the Panthers' safeties, Jeff, he was all the way back. I mean, it looked like he was going to be the safety valve. The last second, charges down, he winds up getting a sack.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could disguise things like that, and I'm sure Spags is, you know, thinking big picture, but all of that depends on game flow. He may come into this game, Spags, saying to himself, we're going to do this in the third quarter, do this in the fourth quarter. If the Giants don't stop the run, you know, he's going to have to be a little bit more conservative because the last thing you want to do is give a rookie confidence and also get too aggressive at the line, and then Dez is going to get hot down the field. So you really got to play the game of chess and see how it flows as opposed to going in with a set game plan to start the contest.
And that's what really makes some of these coordinators worth all the money you pay them is the adjustments that they make during the game. And, you know, we've seen it in not only on this team but other teams. Some coaches just can't make those adjustments, and they just, you know, they kind of force-feed the game plan as it goes rather than saying, you know what, guys, this isn't working. Okay, you guys are all professional enough to know that if we can't do this, we're going to have to go back and do this. We practice it, let's do it, and then initiate it, and then a lot of times it can help. But you know, anytime, I don't care if you are a veteran quarterback or a rookie quarterback, anytime you're facing third and long, second and long, there's not a lot of plays that you can draw up to make first downs. So that's why those first two downs are so important about stopping the run, because the Giants would love to be in third and two and third and three all season long, second and six, second and five. You can call plays all day long with those.
More options.
Absolutely. And then you know what? Second and five to me is the best play. You can still run the football, and if you only make four, now you're third and one. Again, tons of plays you can run again, okay? Which now comes you back to that first down. Can you get four or five on first down? It just helps your offense, your confidence. The flip side of it is, Lance was saying, you don't want to have your defense give up those first couple downs where this young quarterback is in third and two, third and three. You want him in third and long positions because, number one, he's young, and now he's going to say, I got to make a first down. I'm going to force the ball.
Yep.
And that's how you get turnovers.
Try to go above and beyond the
offense. No question, because you know he's going to force it.
Oh, yeah. It's his debut. He wants to make a statement early.
Now, I will tell you that his MO is he's a pretty calm, collective dude, okay? He's getting better as we speak. He was the MVP in one of the Senior Bowls this year. I mean, the kid can play. He's a fourth-round draft pick. He's not a first-round draft pick. He's not a seventh-round draft pick. But obviously, he's there for a reason. You look what he did in preseason. That's all you can judge him on, okay? I know it's preseason. But the fact is, he's very accurate, and he is he can manage the game. Not to mention, he's got some wheels, you know? And so did Tony Romo. I mean, it's almost like they're both kind of guys
correct.
That can really fit into this Jason Garrett offense. So, but honestly, get him down somewhere on first and second down. That defense has got to stop, whether it's a, you know, incomplete pass. Now they go second and 10, or they stuff Ezekiel Elliott at the line, and now it's second and nine.
Well, and here's another thing, and I think this is relatable. when Matt Cassel started against the Giants in the second meeting last season. I think that's a better gauge because Tony Romo wasn't on the field. And yes, the defense has changed with the Giants, but I want to bring this up as an example. And that game was close. It yeah. came down to a Dwayne Harris 100-yard right. kickoff return, Jeff. Cassel and company, they were 6 of 11 on third down. Mm-hmm. That was with the backup quarterback. Yep. And that was with also, remember, Joseph Randall started that game. He got hurt. McFadden came in. They ran for over 200 yards. So if you get that running game going for Dallas, Prescott is going to be in manageable third downs, and he's going to get more and more comfortable as the game goes. So that's why it still goes back to stopping the run and making those third and longs. That's what the key for the Giants' defense has to be. Let's head back to the phone lines here. We got D-Town in Atlanta. D-Town, what's happening?
Hey, Lance and Jeff. It's been a long time I haven't talked to you guys. I'm a.k.a. Derek from Atlanta. How
well,
you guys
good to
doing?
Hear from you. How's everything?
I'm good. I got a couple of questions. First I want to ask, because you were talking about the linebackers, I really haven't seen him that much this year, and I want to know what your opinion of Devin Kennard is.
Well, I mean, you haven't heard much about him because he's been healthy. We've heard a lot about him as far as, you know, his health situation over the last couple of years. Just hasn't been able to stay on the field. He's done a nice job. I think he did a lot of things in the off season to help him with his health, and that's maybe, I don't know exactly what it was, but he went through camp and is done fine. I think there really wasn't too much of a competition at that strong side linebacker position. It was more the weak side that was where things were kind of not dictated from the start, and the middle linebacker. So I think between them, that's why you haven't heard much about him, because he's been pretty steady at that position.
And like you said, it's all about durability when it comes to Devon Kennard. I mean, that's the key.
Yeah, and he's very versatile. Like we love to use that word, and so does Coach McAdoo. The fact is that, you know, he can put his hand in the dirt if he wants to. I mean, they can put him in, and they can do all kinds of other things.
I wanted to also ask about the offensive line, particularly the running game. When I look at the running game compared to other teams, the play of the offensive line looks very vanilla. It looks like basically it's mano y mano. You push your guy in front of you, and the running back tries to find a lane. When you look at someone like Pittsburgh, matter of fact, if you look at last night's game, you see tackles and pulling, leading out in front, and they schemed up. Do you see that with the Giants, or is it just my perception?
Well, I think you got to take a few things into consideration. You yeah. brought up Denver. You know, Denver's got a fullback. The Giants don't have a fullback. Remember, Will Johnson, if he's healthy, Derek, I think that changes the equation a little bit. The fact that they don't currently have a fullback on the roster, that limits them. Also, the fact that they're still seeking a true blocking tight end, a guy that loves to get physical and prides himself on opening things up at the line of scrimmage and in the trenches. You know, that's also something that's a work in progress. And then the third factor would be the fact that, you know, Pugh missed a lot of preseason time, Jeff, so there's only so many things you get creative with your starters if they're not on the field. So all three of those factors, I think, is a reason why, Derek, you probably don't see much of that with the Giants as opposed to what you're seeing with some other teams across the NFL landscape.
All right, got one more thing before I go. Defensive, the man against zone. It seems to me that if our best defense probably is going to be man. But I hate to turn my back against Dak Prescott. So do you think that we will be in like a chess match of playing zone more in this game, so we don't have to turn our back to Dak Prescott? And if we do play zone, do you see Dez Bryant motioning and trying to match up on, let's say, Eli Apple rather than DRC? And I'll talk to you. Take it yourself.
Hi, Derek. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
I think that you know, zone and man is all dictated on down and distance. I think it's dictated on times when you're in the game. It also is dictated on what you have called up front with blitzes, things like that. If in my opinion, I want to get as much coverage as I can on those receivers, because I don't want to give Dak Prescott any type of cushion to be able to have to see a guy open and be able to throw him, because I feel like he's a pretty accurate passer, but I just don't want him to have that that flexibility to be able to sit there. And I'm not saying he's going to have all day to throw, but I just don't want him dropping back and seeing guys, you know, without press coverage and just sitting there back playing zone. These guys are going to be open for the quick hitters. Now you got quick hitters by Beasley and Bryant. These guys, all they want to do is get the ball into them in space, and they're going to make plays. And so, in my opinion, I do agree with the call. I think that they need to play a little bit more. I disagree with the call. I think they need to play a little bit more press coverage. I'm not worried about turning my back to Dak Prescott until he beats me on something.
Yeah, you hit it right in the nose, Jeff. I mean, they love to get those guys just a little space so that once they make the short catch, then they can hit their stride down the field. Jason Witten in the same thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if they move guys around, too, to try to tailor that to the strengths of Dak Prescott. Spags was asked about coverages yesterday, and he indicated that he doesn't necessarily know whether he's going to have corners stick to one side. He's going to move guys around, because I think what the Cowboys are likely going to do, Jeff, is, you know, they'll try to find Eli Apple on the field, and they'll probably put Dez Bryant in motion, and they're not just going to say, Dez, stay on the left, and then line up with DRC or line up with Janoris Jenkins. Apple's on the opposite side of the field. Move over to that side, see if he can get a one-on-one matchup with Apple, and that's what they're going to do. And then it's going to be up to Spags to determine, okay, they're doing this a lot, or they're picking and choosing their points, and, you know, what type of scheme you want to run.
And they're working on that in practice all week. You got a scout team guy who wears number 88, and he's running around all over the field, different formations, this and that, because they're anticipating that this is what's going to happen. And then they're going to look at the tape, and they're going to say, you know what, we like this or we don't like this. If he does this, we're going to do that. Okay, so that's how it's going to work. You obviously want to get your best matchup, and whether that's that you're going to, you know, have one guy that's your best corner is going to follow 88 around, and then the rest of the guys play what they do, I don't know. And that's what Spags is saying. I don't know if that's what I'm going to do. If the guys are going to take the thirds or they're going to stay on one side of the field, we'll see. But I'm not worried about Eli Apple. I'm certainly not worried about Eli Apple against Dak Prescott. I'm really not. In fact, he's a better player. He's a first-round draft pick. And from what I've seen him do in preseason, I'm pretty excited about it. I really am. I'm not worried about him at all.
I think he held his own against Eric Decker, and I say the sooner the better that he gets tested in a regular season setting is only going to help him in the long run.
Yeah, and I just think he's a very mature player. You know, obviously where he played is helping him. He's played in big games. I don't think this stage is too big for him now. I know he'll be a little bit nervous just because it's the NFL and the opening weekend and all that kind of stuff. But I think the guy is pretty level-headed. I think he's got a good attitude on things, and I think that he prepares like he should off the field in the classroom. That's gonna help him. You know, he's got two good guys. You know, Jenkins and DRC, pretty salty vets that he's learning from.
Well, and Leon Hall too. I would throw out there as well.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of veterans that he could lean on, and Hall especially because he played in the slot.
You know, we haven't really touched a little bit about this, and I don't know, you know, what the situation is. We'll find a little bit more today when they practice, but and tomorrow with the safety position, whether it's going to be Nat Burhe or it's going to be Darian Thompson. But you know, both these guys, I think, you know, that's a big decision, and obviously it's a health one. But I feel like that Nat Burhe has, I think he has stepped his game up. I think that he's finally to the point where he's feeling comfortable playing safety. And I feel like the game is now coming to him rather than he was really trying to put a square peg in a round hole a lot of times, just being hurt and just trying to learn the position from the NFL standpoint. But I feel like the Giants are comfortable with him if Darian Thompson isn't going to play this weekend.
Yeah, well, he's gotten some reps in the last few preseason games, and he certainly has jumped out to the coaching staff. And here's the other thing to note, Jeff, with respect to Nat Burhe. You know, how many more opportunities are you going to have where the guys in front of you get hurt?
Oh, man,
and
he's
then
got a
you
lot
now
of them.
Are staring at a starting job. Remember, last year, he was penciled in with all the injuries. Unfortunately, he gets the calf injury.
Sure.
Now, Darian Thompson suffers the shoulder injury right before the start of the season. I mean, Burhe has to be saying to himself, well, here we go, deja vu all over again, but let's get a different ending.
And
this time, I think
deja vu, but I really believe, like, the last preseason game and the game before that, he's really has played himself into shape here as far as not physically, but I mean, I feel like the game is there for him now. I really do. I feel that Spags and with the play of Collins being able to help him out a little bit too, that's important. Because he can rely on somebody that, you know, last year, Collins being a rookie, you really couldn't rely on him. He didn't know what the heck he was doing. You know, I mean,
baptism by fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Ed in Maryland. Ed, what's happening?
Hi, Ed.
Actually, this is Big Ed.
Big
from
Ed.
Maryland.
Yo,
okay,
Big Ed.
So, you know what? We're working
it's
in
your
so.
Buddy.
There
up,
we go,
buddy?
Big Ed. Now, Big Ed, we appreciate you stopping by the stage, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You almost knocked us. When you gave us that big hug, you almost took out the whole table, everything.
Yes. Well, you live up to your name, Big Ed.
Yeah.
I think we saw that up close and personal.
That's right. Hey, look, I'm sorry about Tell John, man. I'm sorry, man. I missed him.
Yeah, well.
I hope y'all did
see,
say something.
No,
we did.
Well,
we told him.
Actually, I told him that you weren't even expecting to want to have the desire to meet him anyway. So it actually was to your benefit that he wasn't in the vicinity at the time. That's what I told him. And we'll keep that between the three of us right now. Yes.
All right. All right, fellas. Everybody's had their say. They've said this. They said that. This is what I will say. 13-3. We go healthy the whole season. We should be 13-3. Now, who the three losses are, you know, we got downtime in November, and between the travel to London, we should win the London game and everything, come back, and everything should be fine. But somewhere in there, it's three letdowns, but that's okay. It'll be okay games where if we lose them, that's okay. Because if as long as we win those other games, these key games, because the first half is good. I mean, we should really just wipe everybody out. There's no reason to lose to any of them.
Wow.
They're not worthy. They're not worthy to play what we have on the field.
we got this
defense,
taped, right?
Wow, and here's
boy,
my big one, y'all. I meant to tell y'all this too. I can tell you now. Everybody, listen to this one. They need to let JPP do like Lawrence Taylor. Let him loose. Please let him loose. I swear to you, if you let that man loose like that, he will cause havoc. Because if you watch all the, like a lot of people on Facebook, they've been talking about, they've been showing old highlights of Lawrence Taylor against the Lions on Thanksgiving and all that. He just kept going after the quarterback. Let JPP do that kind of player. Go after everything. He does it because he's leaner, he's smaller, and he's faster. And he's capable of it. He just laid to let him go crazy. Just let him loose. Then, offense, just line just got to block. Run block, pass block. You can pass block, you can run block. We do that, fellas, we'll be in Houston in February.
All right, I like that.
Look at the confidence.
Number five.
Out of Big Ed.
That's right. Can't wait, y'all. I'm coming up for the Redskins game. That's all I'm making plans for.
Look forward
Redskin
to it.
Game.
You got it.
Yes.
Week three.
Home game.
Absolutely. All right, Big Ed.
So, all right, man. Tell the fellas, man, just play hard in Dallas. Stay hydrated. And do like you did last season on this time. Finish the game. Finish
Absolutely.
And win the game.
All right,
hold them out.
Appreciate the phone call.
Cowboys.
Thanks so much for weighing in. Wow. First half of the season, he didn't think there's any competition on the schedule, according to Big Ed. Gotta love the optimism and enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's why he's Big Ed.
That's right.
Why we love
no right. doubt about it. All right, Mark is in Chicago. Mark, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? I'm a new listener since January, so it's really exciting to watch the show. And
good. Welcome
you know,
aboard.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, see some of the new personalities on the show, like David Deal and Howard Cross. So it's really exciting. I'm an out-of-market person, so I rely on the national prognosticators a lot more than in New York. And, man, a lot of them see Dallas winning a game. I don't know how, but from my standpoint, if we can't win this game right now with the personnel situation in Dallas, I think it's going to be a long season.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people will agree with you just because of the fact that what we talked about earlier, Lance, you know, this defensive line, linebacker. I mean, Sean Lee is that guy. He's like having five linebackers.
He's got some motor.
He's unbelievable. So we can't discount him. But you know, the backfield for the DBs and safeties for the Cowboys are pretty good. So this defense isn't as maligned as you think it is. It's just the up front people that we're talking about. But you know, I would not be shocked if the Cowboys did win this game, and that's why the prognosticators, it's all an even pick'em game. You know, these guys know about all this stuff, but you know, and how you could say how could this Giants team lose to a rookie quarterback? Well, they've got a a running back who can run. You've got an offensive line who can block. And obviously you've got talent at the wide receivers. You just got a quarterback that has to manage the game and just don't make mistakes. They've got a good chance of winning the game. But what the Giants can't do is they can't go in on the road and turn the ball over, okay, like they've done in the preseason. And they have to be able to run the football. I think the defense will take care of itself. I think it's new, but I think that the defense is going to be much better than it was last year. This is going to be a close game. So some of those, you know, those when you go online and you're looking to think Dallas, Giants, Dallas, there's people picking this game. And that's, I think those are for the reasons why they're picking is what I just gave you. It's going to be close. It's a division game.
Most of the games are close. And I think usually in week one, it's really a feel it out type of thing. Both teams are trying to search for their identity. And remember, let's not look too far. Mark, last night, Trevor Siemian, young quarterback, seventh round pick from 15, you know, he was able to solve that Panthers defense throughout the game at times, and they wound up winning that. So I never overlook an opponent, even though they have a young guy under center. You go back to the Redskins in 2012, they had RG3 and Alfred Morris start week one, and they won a shootout against the Cleveland Browns. Now, I understand, no, I'm sorry, against the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints also had plenty of firepower on offense, too. So I don't think you can take any opponent lightly, regardless of the personnel.
Right. Well, it should be an exciting game. I do want to talk about blocking and also the kickoff discussion that happened earlier. One of the earlier guys talked about fixing blocking mechanics, and I just think that the way they teach run blocking in the NFL these days, it seems like it's more hands-based. You know, my own experience was high school ball. You put your one or two hands in the dirt, you stayed low, you fired out, you used your shoulder, and it just seems like they're not teaching these techniques anymore from what I can see on videos and in the games. I see, you know, Newhouse and Donnell, although Donnell's getting better, they're in a two-point stance, and you can't run block from a two-point stance.
Yeah, well, it's I think they're having a hard time run blocking from a three-point stance sometimes, but you know, blocking is all about a mentality. It's, you know, you want to be a good blocker. I think most of these tight ends, they want to be the Gronks of the world. They want to be the guys catching the football. But, you know, in an offense like this, that requires you to block, and it only helps the rest of the running game and everything else. So it's all a mentality of that position. When you talk about Newhouse, and you can even talk about Flowers, these guys just have got to get better, period. And you just hope that they've gotten better between, you know, last week and what they're going to see on Sunday.
Well, and the other thing that I'll add to that, Mark, which I think at least impacts Larry Donnell. Larry Donnell's 6'6". So regardless of whether it's a two-point stance or a three-point stance,
big dude,
it's very difficult for him to get down in that low-level position that they want him right now to block, and that's the one thing that he's working on. And the other thing to note, and I bring this up with a lot of these young tight ends, Donnell started off his football career as a quarterback. So he's still very young in terms of actually playing and getting reps at tight end. So that plays a role as to why he's not necessarily at the level that I think most fans and perhaps the coaches anticipated at this point.
Yeah. Well, I think he's getting better, and I think he's trying to make the effort, because I was watching a couple of plays where Newhouse was in a two-point stance and Donnell was actually down in a three. But I think he needs to use his shoulders more rather than his hands. I'll just make one more comment about the kickoff thing. I don't think they should totally eliminate kickoffs because if you look at some of the most exciting games, they're when you have, you know, fourth quarter comebacks. And, you know, you get a kickoff return for a touchdown, you get an onside kick to get the ball back. What I think they should do is maybe for the first three quarters, make it the option of the receiving team to either kick it off, to receive the kickoff, or take it at, you know, 20, the 25, the 30, whatever it is. And then in the fourth quarter, you have to kick it off. And that keeps the excitement level in there for these comebacks at the end of the game.
Yeah,
and
point.
I'll listen to your comments off the air.
Yeah, that's a
Thanks.
Good point.
Hi, Mark. Appreciate it.
You know, when you open up the discussion, it's kind of nice. You get all kinds of different opinions. That's a good one, you know. At least it keeps the kickoff still in the game, and it also gives you the other team an opportunity to say, you know what, we're not that good at returning it, so we'll just take it at the 25.
Well, I'm all for keeping the kickoff in the game.
I am too.
So any way that they can come up with a compromise of some sort, I'm all for
and
that.
You know, and I don't really care if it goes through the end zone every single time. I just still like – I'm old school. I just still think football is meant – it's football. Remember? F-O-O-T. Foot. You're supposed to use your foot in this thing. All
this
right?
Coming from a punter, of
yes,
course.
So yes. You need to start the game off with the kick. And so let's keep it there.
And then I also think it goes back to, too, and you hit on this earlier, Jeff, there's a number of football players right now in the NFL that have defined roles. So if you eliminate these facets of the game, then where are they supposed to go? For example, a guy like Dwayne Harris. Dwayne Harris could be a wide receiver, don't get me wrong, but he really makes his name for himself.
Receiving kickoffs and punts.
With the returning game. Yeah. Bobby Rainey, another guy on this team, makes a name for himself as a return guy. And then you go to the punters and the kickers and the long snappers, a guy like Zach DeAussie. I mean, you have value because of what you do on special teams. If you eliminate that, what happens with those players? So I think that's something that the union is also obviously going to have to consider as well.
It is, and I think there's a fine line because when you talk about eliminating players, and you're also, you know, that's something that they have to be concerned about. But also the league has to be concerned ultimately about the safety of the players. And honestly, this is what it's all about. You know, back when they used to have the four-man wedges, they called it, where the guys would come back together and there would be four guys running as fast as they can running as fast. And they had wedge busters, as they were called. They were the two inside guys, the four and the five on your kickoff. And you start from, you know, you have five on one side, five on the other, and the kicker. There's your 11. You start from the outside and you count in. So the guy closest to the sideline is the one. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The four and the five, those were your wedge busters. And those were your linebackers. And guess what? Those were the guys that were just absolutely just like kamikazes. They're running in and hitting four offensive linemen, running 20 yards. I mean, come on.
Well, and that's how you get injuries.
And so then they went away from the four-man. Then they went to the three-man. And now you're only down to the two-man. You're only allowed to have a two-man wedge. So you could just see it's just kind of constantly talking about injuries. And that's where the injuries happen. It happens in junior football. It happens in high school with these coaches. When they're hitting, they're doing drills where you don't have to do hitting drills from 15 yards away. And that's where the injuries are coming in. You do hitting drills from less than 5 yards away. Tackle, you know, hit your head up and things like that. It's just a way to eliminate injuries is really what it is.
Let's head back to the phone line. So glad you could spend part of your Friday with us. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. From one Mark, we go to another Mark. Mark in New Jersey. Mark, what's happening?
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well, Mark. What do you have for us? What's
on
your mind?
I got a trivia question for you before I start. The first three touchdowns of the past three NFL seasons were scored by what position group?
Well, last night was a wide receiver that scored the touchdown.
Well, okay, I should say it was a fullback because Janovich scored, and then the year before that was Will Johnson, and then it was John Kuhn the year before that for.
Wow.
Well, but remember, but if you're referring, Carolina got up early first, though.
Yes, they did.
So, I mean, Kelvin Benjamin interrupted that trend, I guess is what you're saying.
Yes.
But it was nice to see that that guy did score that, because that was old school football right there. Just open up, bam, gone. Touchdown.
Yes. No hesitation. Found the alley.
Kind of reminds me of high school football, because my son plays fullback on the high school team. That's all he does. He gets that quick hit, boom, right up the middle.
There you go.
It's nice.
Yeah. So I know the guys were talking about earlier on the show about Will Beatty and possibly blocking for a tight end. And the reason I thought about that earlier before he even mentioned it is because I listened to The Fan this morning and I was doing some errands and Carl Banks mentioned it. I thought, you know, that would be a really good idea because, you know, and they did it last night too because, you know, you have that extra hand to help out for Newhouse or Flowers if they struggle a little bit because I feel like that would be very helpful for them in the offensive line. And obviously it's something they can do going forward. And a few other points. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that Brinkley's locker is still intact. I don't know if that's true. The reason I think that's interesting is because I think they brought in Josh Johnson as a scout team member to use for Dak Prescott, and then maybe they'll bring Brinkley back. I don't know if that's true or not, because that's what I've heard. And then two other points I want to get to really quick. I hope they use Shane Vereen a lot more. This is going back to the Eagles game last year on that. 2-minute drill, every single play was a dump down to Vereen, and they ended up going in and scoring. And also back to that Eagles game, too, in the middle of the field, they could not stop Zach Ertz for love nor money. And I think that's something that hopefully they improve on, and that's something that they watch the tape, and hopefully that helps them this week, especially with Jason Witten, who ages like fine wine. He's still one of the best, and he'll probably go in the Hall of Fame one day.
Well, tight ends overall was a major issue for the Giants. No doubt about that, Mark. Your point about Shane Vereen, I mean, the game that stands out to me about Shane Vereen is the San Francisco 49ers game. And that drive that ended up with Larry Donnell getting the game-winning touchdown, Vereen was involved in all the plays leading up to getting them in the vicinity of the red zone. So, I mean, I think they'll look to try to get him involved. But here's what I think a lot of people overlook, Jeff. You look at Shane Vereen's stats, and I just brought him up. Shane Vereen set career highs across the board last season. So it's somewhat comical when people say they need to be using him more if the guy set career highs across the board. And I don't want to hear that he wasn't utilized in New England. He was utilized in New England.
Yeah.
Across the board, set career highs last season.
Well, I mean, if you just utilize him the way he's been utilized the last year, then do it. You know, I mean, find some other ways to get him the football in different situations. But I feel like, you know, they do need to try to get him the ball a little bit more. And I will tell you this, you're going to see him run the football a little bit more because they're not going to go with this 4-3-4 running backs this year. It's going to be Shane Vereen and also Jennings. Those are your two running backs. And so don't be surprised if Shane Vereen is getting 5 or 6, 7 carries a game carrying the football, okay? So that's going to be a little bit different than what he did last year. I think he averaged maybe 3 or 4 carries a game last year. But so I think the Giants will try to get him the ball a couple more times than they did last year.
Well, I think that's a fair point. If they do say to themselves, okay, Jennings and Vereen are our main guys and you eliminate some of the others, then you're right. He's bound to get some more carries. But I also think he's effective as a receiver.
No question.
Where I think that maybe even you could find other opportunities, depending, of course, on the matchups and so forth.
Well, you know, you've seen him. Philly returner.
Darren Sproles.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, they line him out at wide receiver all the time. You know, and just get the ball out to him in space. And
Danny Woodhead is another guy.
So
from San Diego.
That's an idea that, you know, we should maybe go down to Coach McAdoo's office and tell him.
Absolutely. Because speaking to us is priority number one
on his
to-do list today. Without a doubt. No problem. What else do you have for us, Mark?
I mean, that would be all. And I think the one interesting thing was this morning they announced the captains, and it was Casillas, Manning,
D'Alci and Eli.
And D'Alci.
Yeah.
And the interesting one to me is Casillas. You know, not to knock him or anything. And, you know, I think he's done really well. I hope he's healthy. But, you know, why not somebody like JPP who's been around the organization who knows.
I'll tell you about the captains and how they're picked.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because
appreciate the call, Mark.
I think that there's a misnomer because, you know, a lot of people don't understand what goes on. Okay, we can only see what's on the field and we can only talk about it, but inside this building and what's going on behind the scenes in the locker room, in meeting rooms, there's a lot of leadership that goes on that people don't know about. And I'm just guessing. I'm not in there either, but I'm just going on from my prior years of being in the league is that a lot of times this is what happens. Players gravitate to guys that are leaders off the field and in the building. And I guess that this is probably what happened here with Casillas. I think that he took a leadership position. You know, a guy like Olivia Vernon is not going to be a vocal leader. He's a guy that you see on the practice field. He's doing things. People are following him.
Silent.
That's the kind of leader he is. Eli Manning is a leader, you know, on the field too. He's not a huge leader in the locker room. He's not a verbal guy. JPP is a very quiet guy. Okay. So these are kind of how captains are picked in a sense. Zach D'Alci being the special team guy, he's been here for 10 years. I mean, that's just kind of, you know, it's almost a given. You just kind of the special team guys. Yeah. You get the seniority
there. Yeah.
And you know, I had that position and then when I left, Zach ended up getting it because he was just a longevity for that. But that's kind of, I'm telling you how some of these leaders or how the captains are picked. Is just because of that. And sometimes you scratch your head like, well, why not JPP or why not OV or someone like that? That's the reason.
Well, these guys know each other's personalities much better than anybody else who covers the team or perhaps is watching.
And you know what? You need a leader at a certain – on the defense, you need a leader that's going to be like Antonio Pierce was our leader when I was – because that dude was a leader on the field and he was a leader in the locker room. He was the guy that was yelling and screaming and telling you don't do this and you do this and you do that. That was why they picked him as a captain, you know. So you got to have a guy in the locker room that has a presence that's going to have an impact on people when he speaks. You know, JPP is very quiet, you know, may not have that kind of impact on players, but somebody with a voice sometimes does.
One other thing I wanted to hit on before we wrap up here, it was the point that the last caller, Mark, brought up at the beginning of his call about maybe the role that Josh Johnson is playing on this roster as to why he was signed. And Spags hit on an interesting note yesterday. By the way, how about this coincidence? The last time that a team in the NFL started a tandem of a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back was 2012. That was when the Redskins and the Browns. The Browns had Brandon Weeden and Trent Richardson. The Redskins had RG3 and Alfred Morris. Week one of the 2012 season, the Redskins play the Saints, as I was referencing earlier in the program. Who was the Saints defensive coordinator at the time?
Spags.
Who's the Giants defensive coordinator? Spags, once again going up against a tandem of a rookie quarterback
first time
and a rookie
in
running
four
back.
Years.
That's
yeah.
crazy. That yeah. is the same defensive coordinator. But what he mentioned, Jeff, was he said they didn't run the read option with RG3 at all in the preseason in 2012. So they didn't really have anybody that was preparing the defense, whereas he doesn't want to revisit that again this year. So if you connect the dots, and this is only an assumption on our part, and I think the caller was alluding to this, maybe they're preparing this saying to himself, well, the Cowboys, they did run a little read option, but we don't know if they're going to expand their package. Maybe we need somebody who's a little elusive
sure.
and mobile well. And so forth. That could have very well played a role in it.
And John and I had spoke about this, I think it was Monday when we were on the air, is that a lot of times, and not just the Giants, and I said this before, you look at other rosters around the NFL, there are veterans that get cut the first week and they're brought back the second week because their contracts are not guaranteed if they're not on the first week of the roster. So this could be what, you know, you're thinking about Brinkley and the press and Johnson kind of thing. It happens. And it could happen here. I'm not saying it will, but it could. But it does happen where the guys get cut their first week because they're told, hey, by the way, stick around for a week. We'll bring
Pick
you back.
Up the phone.
And then we'll you know, but we can't, you know, we'll redo your deal and go from there.
Chase Blackburn's the example
no
I always
question.
Bring up.
Yeah.
He came and gone and then returned again. So,
and, you know, you look at a guy like JT Thomas who took a pay cut recently. You know, there was an option probably was discussed, I would imagine. It was either, hey, either take the pay cut or they're going to, you know, you're not going to be around. And that happens to many, many, many veteran players. I'm telling you, that's standard right there. We'll keep you around, but we're not going to pay you. You know, so either you take the pay cut or they're going to kick you down the road. And a lot of guys, they're smarter than you think.
They'd
be like, okay, I can make zero or I can make this. Okay, I'll take that.
I want. I'll take that. Exactly. All right, well, that is going to wrap things up for us here on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. In terms of what to expect on Sunday, as far as the radio coverage is concerned, Jeff and I will be involved in the pregame show. It's going to start at 2:10 p.m. Eastern on WFAN. For those of you in the New York area, it's also going to be streamed online at Giants.com.
I think we're on CBS.
WCBS, correct. See, this is what happens when you're in preseason form still. You're right.
Well, get in regular season form.
The
Let's
Yankees
go.
Are going to be on the fan, so I stand corrected. WCBS 880 is the channel that we would be
there
on.
There you go.
2:10 p.m. Eastern, though, is when we start. And as I mentioned, Giants.com is going to stream it, so if you're not in the local area, you can listen on.
Oh, wow, that's great.
There you go.
That's
so
good news.
So we have all the angles covered for local fans as well as fans across the country. But with that being said, enjoy Giants-Cowboys, 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff on Sunday. Big Blue Kickoff Live recapping the game back here on Monday at noon Eastern. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. We will speak to you on Monday. Have a good one.